man. This morning, let's say a prayer for her.
If you know the lyrics to the song, or even just a part of it, please feel free to help me out. So.
appreciate Sister Laura being willing to sing this morning. Something else this morning on your heart? Anything before we change the course of the service? Amen. Amen. Appreciate this, sister. Something else this morning? I think a lot of times we have a preconceived notion of what revival should be. And revival, to me, is what God gives us. Stirring our hearts. Reviving of the spirit that dwells within us. A renewed love for God and what He's promised us. God has been good to us this week. Had a thought the last couple of days, and I don't know, this may seem a little different, I guess, for a revival service, but I want to follow the Spirit of the Lord and the thought that He's given me. The title to my subject this morning is very important to me. I hope the Lord will help us to bring it out this morning. The title to our subject this morning is Not for Sale. Not for Sale. I've thought a lot about that here in the last few days. And really, even last night, as I tried to get home and narrow in on how God might bring this out, and we have just a few thoughts maybe before we get into our subject that maybe the Lord will help us expound upon just here shortly. When I think about not for sale, I think about the way things are in the economy that we live in. And I don't want to get political or anything this morning, because certainly I do not feel like the pulpit is a platform for those kind of things. But I'll say this, that we live in a time just here in the last year that we have seen the economy progress in a way that's really never progressed before. In a long, long time. Even to the extent that I've talked to people in the real estate market just here recently that said that he's been in the real estate business since 1983, and he had done the best that he had ever done from last year to this year in the real estate market. And I began to think about those things, even to the point that earlier in the year, sometime around the first of the year, that me and even Jessica had talked about the possibility of selling our home and moving and different things of that nature if that was the way the Lord wanted us to go. Obviously, no doubt, there's a lot of people that have been in the real estate market who have sold their homes and different things and have done really well. But nonetheless, even us sitting back, we decided, where would we go? Where would we go? We love where we're at. We like where we're at. We've put a lot of care into where we're at. And where would we go? We would have to hunt something else and build a new home. And me and her decided that that probably wouldn't be a very good outcome, me and her trying to build a home together. So anyway, we decided to stay where we're at through much prayer and supplication. But our thought today, as we said, is not for sale. And I want to look at Judges this morning, and I want to take for our reading some familiar scripture that most of you will be familiar with. And I want to read, starting in the 16th chapter, in the 18th verse. The 16th chapter, in the 18th verse. And it says, "And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath shewed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came unto her and brought money in her hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as the other times before. And she shake herself, and he was not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit that the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." And I want to look over here in Philippians, if the Lord will help us bring these two verses of Scripture together. In the first chapter of Philippians, in the 6th verse, says, "Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." With the mistakes that we've made reading, I want to look and examine Samson, if you will, for just a moment in time. And this morning, we may be a few places in the Scripture, but I want to look at also the 13th chapter of Judges, if you will. And it says there, if you will, it takes in our reading, it says, And when the woman came to her husband, saying, A man of God hath came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. And I asked him whence he was, and neither told him his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat or any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite of God from the womb unto the day of his death. And also in the 24th verse, in the 25th verse, it says, And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at times at the camp of Dan, and between Zorah and Eshtal. And I want to stop there with the mistakes that we've made reading. I want to look this morning, if the Lord will be our help, and examine here for just a short while the life of Samson. And as we look here at Samson, no doubt, we know that his mother was barren. And yet an angel had appeared unto her and said that she would conceive a child and bring forth, and that he should be a Nazarite, and that he should consume no strong drink, neither should his hair be shaven. And we know here that it talks about as the child began to grow, it says that the Spirit of the Lord began to move on him at times at the camp of Dan. And we know here this morning that I want you to understand that even as a small child, as he began to grow, the Spirit of the Lord began to kindle in his heart. And oftentimes I've said that if you really want to see something begin to happen and begin to change, and the church began to get on fire and began to progress and began to move, you let the young people in the church begin to move. You let the young people begin to experience what it is to have a joy that's stirred up in their heart, that they go back to a place to where God saved their soul, and yet they begin to look at those things, and yet the Spirit of God, the same Spirit, yet is even as we adults, we know that God dwells within our heart, but yet we look at young people, and yet oftentimes we overlook them sometimes. But I want you to know this morning, that young person, that you have just as much of an opportunity to stand and yet proclaim the goodness that God has placed in your hearts, as have we've seen this week, as young people have began to stand and talk about what God has done in their hearts. And this morning I want you to know that the Spirit of God began to move upon Samson as he was just a young child. Began to move. And as he began to grow, and as he began to prosper, it says there that it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, And he, it talks about here, let me back up for just a short moment. It says in this 14th chapter, here in the 6th verse, and it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he did rent him as he rent a kid. And that he had nothing in his hand, but he told his father, his mother, what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she had pleased Samson very well. And it says that after that time he returned to take her and turn aside the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came unto his father and his mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told them not what he had taken of the honey of the carcass of the lion. And I want to stop there for just a moment in time. And as we find here that Samson began to grow, and he began to mature in the spirit, that there are no doubt this morning temptations. And we find here oftentimes when it's associated with Samson, that yet women oftentimes would stand in a sense of a temptation against him. And yet we find here that as he began to prosper and grow, that no doubt as he made his way, there was a young lion that the Bible says that roared against him. And yet as he stood there in the midst of this lion, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And it says that he rent him as he would have rent a kid. This morning I want you to understand that as God's people, it's essential this morning that the Spirit of God, that it descend into this place and that it move against his people in such a way as we begin to think about years ago and revivals and things of that nature and how society has changed. And yet I want you to know that we are still God's people in the essence that the Spirit still descends upon this place. And yet it still leads us and it still guides us this morning. And I want you to know and understand here that this lion, it said it roared against him. And I want you to understand this morning yet that there is a lion that out there that seeks to destroy and devour everything this morning that we're trying to put out that it might be a help unto those that are lost and separated from God. He seeks to devour and destroy everything that God's people are trying to do. Everything. And yet as Samson made his way, it said the Spirit of the Lord come upon him. Yet he stood there in the midst. And we find here that Samson, no doubt he slew this great lion that stood in the presence of him. And it said there as a time had returned to take her. And it said that he looked there in the carcass of this lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey that was in the carcass of this lion. And I began to meditate. And I began to think about these things. And I want you to know this morning, as it's been said already, that we need to understand and appreciate the love of God and where that he has brought us from and where he's taken us to, my friend, this morning. I want you to look back and examine this morning how many times God has stepped in your life. And this morning, I want you to understand, if I don't get anything else across to you this morning, that you might stand and declare that you're not for sale. As he stood there before this line and he went through here, it said that he began to look into this carcass, and there was a bee and honey there, and there was a sweetness to it. I want you to understand, when the Spirit of God passes by and you're able as God's people to resist a temptation, when the devil comes upon the scene and yet he begins to tear at you and he begins to try to tear you down. And my friend, I'll tell you, if you're a young Christian and you've never experienced it in this life, my friend, get ready and be prepared for it, because God has never promised us as his people, when he said take up the cross and follow me, he never said that this life was going to be easy. He never promised us a bed of roses, but what he did say was, I'll be there with you and I'll help you bear that cross. Come unto me, all ye that are all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me. He said, come unto me. I want you to know this morning that there was no doubt as Samson made his way there, that he could not, with on his own, defend himself as this lion stood there in the midst of him. But yet the Spirit of God descended upon him. And my friend, I want you to know this morning that the Spirit of God helps his people in our time of need. He helps us. He helps us. You're not alone this morning in the things that you're facing. You're not going through them by yourself. And when that lion comes upon the scene to seek you and destroy you and devour you and get you to a place where you can't feel his spirit, my friend, it's in that moment that you need to cry out to God and ask him to help you. He said right here, as he went back by this carcass, he reached down and there was honey in there. You say, preacher, there was a sweetness to it. Absolutely. Every time God has brought me through something, whether it be a temptation, whatever it might be, and after I've made it through that, after I've come through whatever it was that God has put, my friend, if you will, oftentimes we look at them as temptations. Listen, this morning it may very well be a test that God is placing you through. I still believe in those things. I believe that sometimes God puts things in our way. Sometimes that we have to be willing as his people to overcome those things. Look at the life of Job. God allowed Job to go through so many things, that in the end, that he might receive a double blessing, a double portion. All the things Job had lost, but yet he never cursed God. Never. This morning, I want you to think about over there, there's a scripture that tells us, and it says, buy the truth and sell it not. This morning, if you're going to invest in anything, buy the truth and sell it not. There's too many people in the world today, when things come upon them, my friend, they're willing to sell out at the first little thing that comes along. Anything in this world, what do I stand to gain? I'm willing to sell out, God, for whatever it is, however I might be able to prosper myself and go on, I'm going to sell out right here and right now. What is their price? But the proverb tells us to buy the truth and to sell it not. Samson, no doubt, goes on throughout his life. It says there that he overcame this, and there was a great number that came to him, and he laid to them a riddle there, the Bible says. He says, if you'll understand what this riddle means and come back to me, he'd give them a span of 7 days that they might understand. And yet, going there to his wife and threatening against her, no doubt God used that as an implication against him. Listen, the devil will take anything that he can in your life to manipulate you. Anything that he can. If you've been saved this morning, he wants you to get... Listen, he knows that he can't have your soul. I still believe this morning, and as old time Baptists we ought to be, believe this morning that we are sealed until the day of redemption. He cannot have what God has sealed in here. But my friend, he wants to get you to a place to where you can't feel his spirit. He wants to get you down to a place where you're beaten down. And my friend, where God can't use you, that's what he wants. What he wants. He had taken his wife here and used it against him. He said, no doubt, he said, and the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, he said, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto him, if ye had not plowed my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. And it said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And it says, no doubt, he said, he took the men thereof and took their spoil and gave charge of the garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And the anger was kindled, and he went up against his father's house. and Samson's wife was given unto his companion, whom he used as a friend. Oftentimes this morning, I want you to understand that God is going to place things in your life that is going to be triumphs for you. It's going to be markers, if you will. Fence posts. There's going to be things in your life where you can back up to and you say, God, I know that in this moment, I know that you've brought me to this point. I know, God, that things are well with my soul because I'm able to go back to this place. I'm able to know, God, that there's a place and time where you have stepped in and intervened and you've brought me from that point to the next point. And then there's going to be things that are going to come along that's going to hinder your walk with God. Satan and the demons that work on his behalf. Samson said there in the beginning of the 13th chapter, it says that his mother would conceive and bear a child that he might be a deliverer among his people. God has called us out this morning to be a deliverer. No, we're not able to deliver them, my friend, and save their soul, but yet we can point them this morning to the one that is able to do it. That the Spirit of God might lead us and direct us. I'll just be honest with you this week. I've heard people say, boy, there was a sweet spirit here, and it felt good, and it felt me up. And boy, I tell you, I felt the same thing. But I'll tell you this, church, I'm not satisfied with that. I want more of it. I want to feel it every time that we come into God's house. I want to feel it, His presence, every time that we come into this place. You realize the Spirit of God is essential in His service. It's essential. For we can do nothing on our own. Samson, here he comes. And no doubt, for time's sake, he slew 1,000 of these Philistines. His own people, the people of Judah, turned him over bound. Said, here he is. His own people. And yet he was able, with the Spirit of God, to break loose. And he was able in that moment to take what God had left him there, which was the jawbone there of that donkey. And he was able to slew these 1,000 Philistines. And yet after he had this great battle and God had used him and he was able to move in and do these things, yet he sat there and he said this. And he said he was sore athirst. And he called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given great deliverance unto the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? And it said, But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drank, his spirit came again, and he was revived. How many times have you been down? How many times has it seemed like you've just got to a place to where you can't really get to where you want to be to serve God? You say, well, preacher, I want to feel His Spirit again. Listen, we've been through revival all this week. And my friend, I'll tell you, it comes down to a place to where you've got to get down just here as He was. And He has slew this 1,000 and He said, yet God, I thirst. I'm thirsty, God. Yet no doubt he had battled here, a great battle. And he said, God, I'm thirsty. He said, shall I die? How many times has it felt like you've been there upon the battlefield? And you felt thirsty. You felt it. You needed Him. You needed His Spirit. Listen to me this morning. We need the Spirit of God. each and every time we gather into His house. Every time. The battle is difficult. The battle is hard. It's meant to be. This is not meant to be an easy road traveled. It's a hard road. It's meant to come with prayer and supplication. It's meant to come at a time when you need to get down. And as the old king said that they rent their clothes and sackcloth and ashes, they got down to a place to where they humbled themselves before an almighty God and said, Lord, step in and help me again. They rent their clothes. He destroyed these Philistines with what God had provided. But yet he said, God, I sit here athirst. He said, I'm thirsty. You say, well, preacher, I've been saved. How long has it been since you felt the Spirit of God descend upon your heart? How long has it been? You say, well, preacher, you talk about this a lot. Honey, I'm telling you this morning that God's people... My friend, there's a difference, I believe, that I'll just tell you as I look back and examine things from years ago, and I think about the old church, and I think about how she's come down to a place to where she is now. I want you to know that we haven't always went by the name of Missionary Baptist, honey. There was years ago that we went by the name of Anabaptist and Waldens. Down through the years, and our people had to escape and hide out in the Alps, my friend, that they might be able to serve God. And listen to me, down through the Black Ages, I'm telling you, there were some 50 million Christians that stood there and said, I'll not deny Him. I'll not recant. I don't believe in infant baptism. Honey, they didn't recant. And you know what took place? One of the greatest things, if you ever get the opportunity, read about it. It's called Martyr's Mirror. And my friend, this morning I'm telling you, there was young people. There's a story in there about a 14-year-old little boy. And he stood in there and he was imprisoned. And they said, all you've got to do is recant. And recant and your life will be spared. But I'll tell you what that little feller done. At 14-year-old, my friend, they burned him at the stake. They burned him at the stake. Some 50 million Christians. Over 50 million Christians. Come down to the place. Listen to me. That's our people. That's what our people done. Yeah, they didn't go by that name at that time. But honey, we're here today because those people wouldn't recant and they was willing to go and die that we might have the opportunity that we've got here today. People burned at the stake. Can you imagine that? Those people said, I'm not for sale. I don't care what it is you're trying to sell me. Whether it's the life that I yet long to live to go on and have with my family, that you might bless me. Yet whatever they were being offered, yet they stood there and said, I'm not for sale. I'm going to stand with God. That's what they said. Mothers, Jessica don't like it when I talk about this part. But women, I want you to know they played an essential role too. Mothers would have their wombs cut open and their little babies taken from them. You realize then that they were placed in sacks. Most of them, a lot of them was. There was different tortures. And they were placed in sacks and thrown off bridges that were tied together that they might drown there in the waters. Listen to me. I'm talking about our people. They said, I'm not for sale. Whatever comes in this life, I'm going to honor and glorify Jesus. I'm not for sale. And Samson said, God, have I not been in the heat of your battle? Have I not been here and defended your cause? And yet I lay here and I die. My friend, when you fight and battle for Jesus, my friend, He will provide for you. How many this morning sit in thirst for righteousness? For sanctification? For holiness? Listen to what Paul says. I'll get to my scripture in a minute. Paul in a Roman letter says to all that be in Rome, first verse, he said, Beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace of our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. He said to all that be in Rome and beloved of God, called to be saints. This morning, you may not think of yourself as a saint. You might not say, well, preacher, I didn't sign up for all of that. But listen to me this morning. If you've been saved by the grace of God and you've been sanctified and cleansed through His righteousness and through His blood, you've been called to be a saint. It's not left up for the responsibilities of this one or that one or this one or the preacher or this one or preacher, I just don't want to do that much or preacher, I just don't want to do this or do that. Listen, He's called us all to be sanctified. He's called us all to be saints. Now listen. It says there, that His Spirit came again and He was revived. Samson was no doubt a strong man. He had the physique. God had enabled him and developed him and made him into exactly what he could use. Just as God has done for you. This morning you might say, well, preacher, I don't have the talents of others. I can't sing. I can't play the piano. Preacher, I can't preach. I can't do this. I can't do that. But God has developed you and made you into exactly what He can use. If you're just willing to do that. But oftentimes we want to sit in our seat and sell out. Now, I'm not telling you this morning not to do anything that God's not in. But I'll say this morning. If you want to be just like Samson was then at that point, my friend, we need to be revived by God's Spirit. I'll tell you this week, I have been revived. And revival may break tonight, and it may not, but I want to tell you this. If revival does break, does that give us any cause to stop? Does that give us any cause to slow down? Does that give us any cause not to come into the house of God each and every time expecting God to move? Does that not change our outcome at all? No, but yet it should push us further. It should encourage us to keep going and to get that burden for the lost that God might move. And we set aside times for revivals every year. But listen, when God speaks and He says it's time for revival, my friend, let it go and let God. I'll say this. Oftentimes as God's people, we come into the house of God looking for a formality of the way things should go. I want things to go just exactly like God wants them to go. I want to let go and let God. Let go and let God. Back to my scripture. Let me read this. It says, "Then Samson went down to Gaza in the 16th chapter. And he saw there a harlot, and he went unto her. And it was told to the Gazites, saying, Samson has come thither, and they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all night, saying, In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and rose in the midnight, and took the doors of the gate of that city, and the two posts, and went away with them, and all that put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of the hill before Hebron. My friends, this morning, as God's people, if you felt like there's been something that's been holding you back this week, you feel like you've been entrapped, you feel like you've been imprisoned, you can't seem to let go, you can't seem to get to where you need to be, look unto God that He might stir that spirit up inside of you. Samson meets a woman by the name of Delilah. She looks over at him many times, begins to question him. Samson, where is it that thy great strength lies? Where is it? He begins to tell her. He said, well, if they bind me with 7 green withes that were never dried, shall I be able to break as another man? He was able to break out of those. Scripture goes on and says, Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said, if thou bind me fast with new ropes that had never been occupied, then shall I be weak as another man. And no doubt he was able to break off of his arms like a thread. It said, Delilah said unto Samson, he said, here too thou hast mocked me again and told lies. Said, and she fasted him with a pen and said upon him, the Philistines be upon him. And said, Samson woken out of his sleep and went away with the pins of the beam and with the web. Once again, she goes to him. And she says, how canst thou say thou love me? And thy heart is not with me. Thou hast mocked me. Living in a day and time where it don't take much to sell out. What is it that we might gain? She pressed him and pressed him and pressed him and pressed him. Tell me, where is it that thy great strength might lie? I want to know. I'll tell you, Satan has a way of getting on us. And it's no different for me. I feel like it's maybe no different for any preacher. Preachers can be lifted up, and then on the same hand, preachers can stumble and they can fall. But I'll say this morning. She wanted to know where his great strength lay. And as he made his way there, finally, it says, and she made him to sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man and caused him to shave off the locks of his head. Finally, he had given in to what her request was. He was never to tell anybody. For in that, was he consecrated? In that, was he, dedicated unto the Lord? I want you to know this morning that each and every one of us as God's people, have made a dedication. We've dedicated our hearts. We've said, God, we're going to put you first and foremost in our life. We're going to follow you, God. We're going to exalt your name. We're going to lift you up. And God, whatever come what may, Lord, we're not going to sell out. We're not going to give up, God. We're going to keep putting you first in our families and in our homes. Whatever come what may, God, we're going to put you first. But yet it's even in our weakest moments, in our weakest times, just here as Samson was, he laid down upon her knees and she began to rock him. Satan has such a subtle way about him. He's not like what we depict. He's not standing around with some kind of big pitchfork and horns and big pointed tail and all that. Used to, when we was growing up and going to school, elementary school, our school was called the West Side Devils, believe it or not. That's all a peculiar name for a bunch of elementary children, but that's what we was called, the West Side Devils. And painted on the wall in the gymnasium was this big devil. He had big horns and he carried around a big pitchfork. As a small child, that was terrifying. But that's not what he looks like. He's very subtle. If you're not careful, he'll look like goodness to you. You'll want to desire it. If you're not careful, he'll prey upon your heart. And he'll knock upon it every day because he desires that you might be sifted as wheat. Here he was. Finally, Delilah had convinced him as she rocked him, patted him on the back. These men come in, shaved his head. In that moment, in his time of need, he woke up and she said, Samson, the Philistines is upon you again. He said, I'll do as I've always done. And in that moment, they come in and they plucked his eyes out and they put brass fetters upon his feet there. And he was in chains and he was in bonds. And yet then they put him, the Bible says, to grind in the prison house. They put him to hard labor, hard work. Made it hard on him. How many times throughout your life have you been in that place? I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. Being a Christian, I've heard people say, being a Christian should be easy. It's hard for me. You know what that word Christian means? Christ-like. I want to be Christ-like. But that's hard. It's hard. I talked to you the other night, Sunday, about the foundation is Jesus, and we must lay the foundation. And I believe we have this week laid the foundation the best that we can. Don't allow yourself this morning to be sold out. When Satan comes upon the scene, you tell him, I'm not for sale. You can tempt me. You can try in every way that you know how to get me down. You can try to tell me that I'm not going to bring my children to church because they're loud and this and that. You keep bringing them. He can tell you in every aspect of your life that you're not this, that you're not that. He'll put thoughts in your mind. He'll make you believe things that aren't even there. And he'll steal that joy that's in your heart. He'll try every way that he can. Because that's what he does. But my friend, that's when you stand and proclaim, I'm not for sale. In that moment, as he began to have those fretters that was tied around his feet, and there he began to grind in the prison. A very marvelous verse of Scripture comes out, and this is what it says. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaved. That wasn't the end for Samson. He felt like that he was locked in and bound up. And my friend, I'll tell you, I've been in that way in my life many a time. I felt like, God, I can't feel you. The devil's on my tail again, yet he's trying to get me to a place that I can't serve you. The things of this world can pass me. I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about this and that. And listen to me this morning. Worrying is a sin. Put your trust and confidence in the Lord that He's going to take care of the things that comes your way. Have faith in Him that He can move the mountains that He places in your path. There's times in our life that we feel like that we're bound up and we can't move. But yet in that moment, don't lose sight. Even though Samson's eyes had been put out from him and he couldn't see with a physical, listen to me this morning. We're not bound to walk this world, as Brother Brad said the other night. Even though we may be blinded, my friend, we are to walk. Not by sight. We're not to look with a visible eyes about what lies ahead. We're to put our trust and confidence in the Lord. He told him over there in Ephesians, he said, you stand up and you put the whole armor of God on. My friend, when you walk out in the morning, when you make your way into God's house, you suit up and put the whole armor of God on. You let Him dress you. You let Him prepare your heart. And you be ready to enter in and to serve Him and to glorify His name and to lift Him up. It said that the hair began to grow upon his head. That wasn't the end for Samson. This morning, you may feel like you're bound up. You may feel like this morning that you can't get to where you need to be. And boy, if you finally broke through those chains, what does it feel like? It feels like something. I've heard people say, boy, it felt like I got saved again. Honey, you can't get saved again. But honey, if it's been a long time since you felt the Spirit, I tell you, it feels real good. It feels real good. Real good. It said that the hair began to grow on his head again. They took Samson there. They began to make sacrifices. They began to mock him and say, look. Look here at this Nazarite. They began to poke fun at him and mock him. All that time, he was blind and he couldn't see. And as they gathered together, I want to read this. And it says, Samson said unto the lad that held him by his hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, and that I may lean upon them. And the house was full of men and women, and all the Lord of the Philistines were there, and there was upon the roof about 3,000 men and women, and that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember thee, I pray thee, and strengthen thee, I pray thee. Only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And it says, Samson took hold of the two pillars upon which the house stood, and upon which he was borne up, and of one on his right hand and the other on his left hand. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself and with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people that were therein, so that the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which had slew in all his life. And I want to stop there for a moment. It said there that Samson took the lad's hand and he said, suffer me that I may be able to lean out and place my two hands upon the pillars of the house. in which the house stands. And my friend, this morning, as God's people, we need to be strengthened. My friend, for the battle that lies ahead, let us come into God's house and place our hands upon the pillar on which it stands this morning. And that pillar and the firm foundation this morning is Jesus Christ. And let her place her hands upon those pillars. And this morning, if it be, whatever it may be this morning, let us come in and say, God, if today be the last day, let us serve you like we've never served you before. My friend, as I look down through the years, that's always our prayer. Lord, help me to preach, God, one more time. Help me, God, give me the strength, Lord. I don't know when the last time that we'll have to enter in through God's house. We never know. But Lord, let us come in, God. Give us the strength one more time that we might serve you and that we might glorify your name which is in heaven. Listen to me this morning. God's people, we need to get to a place. You say, well, preacher, I ain't never heard a revival sermon like this. Bless your heart. We need to be a people that says, I'm not for sale. Whatever comes, what may. Lord, one more time, let me feel you. Lord, one more time, let me exalt your name. Philippians says this. He says, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That word perform means to perfect. He said, be confident of this one thing. He that begun a good work in you might perform it. God, if you've been saved by His marvelous grace, has begun a good work in you, that He might continue to perfect it until His coming. This morning I'm reminded over there when Jesus was teaching in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John. And those disciples followed Him and He began to declare unto him that they might take His flesh and eat of it and drink of His blood. And it goes on down there farther and they were sure that He was talking about physically. And it says there in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, He said that some of those disciples followed Him no more. And there as He began to look out, He asked His disciples there that were gathered around. And He said, will you also go away? And Peter answered, he said, to whom shall we go, Lord? For Thou hast the words of eternal life. Whom shall we go to? There's nobody else to go to in this life. There's nobody else to run to. There's nobody else in this life that's able to help you. There's nobody else when the troubles and the trials get hard that we're able to go to. In this life, we're going to face temptations, and we're going to face hardships, and we're going to face battles. But it's in that moment that we have to ask God, Lord, one more time, would you help me? Would you help me one more time? God, give me the strength. Even though he had suffered a great affliction, his hair began to grow again. If you're a child of the King this morning, when it feels like all hope is lost, there's still hope. When it feels like that you're at the end of your rope, there's still rope. When you feel like that you've come to the end of a long road and you don't know which way to go, God will say, I'll point you in the way to go. When things seem like they get hard, go to Jesus, and He'll direct your path. He'll renew that spirit within you. This morning, that would be our message. I want to encourage you also this morning, if you're here and lost, to seek God. Let us once again come boldly to the throne of grace. Let us once again look into where our help comes from. I'm not saying that we can't move forward and progress in things, but let us recall a people of long ago that when the time presented them that they might sell out, they said, I'm not for sale. If it takes my life, I'm not for sale. Satan, you're not going to win. You're not going to overcome me. This morning, let us recall our forefathers that come before us. We're still building upon what they laid, a great foundation. Let us continue to build upon those things. Brother Strode, if you'd get us a song this morning. If you're here and lost, won't you seek the Lord while he may be found? Won't you come this morning? I'll encourage you. Oftentimes we encourage lost people to come to the altar. Church, this morning, safe person alive. If you need to come to the altar this morning and get things straightened out in your life, if you feel like you've got down to a place where you can't feel His Spirit, won't you come this morning? Let God's people gather in around you and pray for you and help you. Call upon the one that can help you this morning to get to where you need to be. As we stand and sing.
One ninety-eight.